Well, what a fun day. Is this on? There we go. There we go. There it goes. There it goes. What a fun day. I may get dizzy today because I'm going to be doing circles, but it'll be fun. I do hope that you embrace the Bible reading this next year. We're going to be going through the entire Bible. And if you have the opportunity, if you have one of those sheets close to you, if not, it's on our website, it's on the app. But it's about 3 chapters a day. And I think what you'll find is, like Chad said, if you really embrace that this next year, you'll find great joy. I found in my life that when I invest in spiritual disciplines in my life, it produces so much fruit. And there's such value in engaging the raw Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to jump in with this January 1. And we'll be, as we go through next year and in 2025, I'm excited about where God's going to have us in His Word, because we're going to be generally going through the book of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We'll be in the Old Testament most of next year. There'll be a couple of windows when we'll be in the Sermon on the Mount, and then the first of the year we'll be in just the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But I'm excited about where God's going to have us in preaching through in our preaching ministry in 2025. But if you have your Bibles today, we're going to end the Gospel of John. We've been there all year. And I want to wrap it up. And if you have your Bibles, we're in John chapter 20 today. But before we jump into John 20, I want to let you know of something I'm really excited about in January. In January, we have a pattern where we'll do a Wednesday night class in January. We'll just kind of spend time on a specific topic, a part of God's Word. And starting January 8th on Wednesday nights, we're going to do a 4-week class on heaven. And I would like to encourage you, if you're Wednesday to kick off your January on Wednesday nights, that would be an insightful journey for us as we consider, first of all, how we as followers of Jesus should see death. That's an important biblical revelation. How do we as Christians look at death? Then we're going to spend a couple of weeks in that class talking about heaven, what that experience is like, what the Bible says about heaven. And then we're going to end that class with how should we live in light of heaven. So on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8, we'll be in a Bible study, and I would encourage you to consider coming to that. I'm excited about it. But as we look at this wrap-up of the Gospel of John, I want us to remember something really important about the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a famous verse that says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be built up and equipped for every good work. That's important to understand, that the Bible, God's given us His Word, and it's useful for us. It's profitable for us. That's why in the Word of God this next year in 2025 will be profitable for you. It will produce great things in your life. And as we've gone through the Gospel of John, it's been, though it's got his name on it, John the Apostle, this man that we know about, that has written a good part of the New Testament. John, the apostle, wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then we're just finishing, if you've been reading with us this year, he wrote the Revelation. And so he was a significant person because he walked with Jesus. He was one of his disciples. He was young when he became a disciple, but he wrote this gospel. Now, let's not overlook the fact, though, though John was the instrument, this is God's word to us. This is God speaking to us. Let's not miss that. And as you consider John, one of the things we said over and over again as we've been in this gospel, one of the things that he was communicating is that Jesus is the living Son of God. He's living. This is very important for us. This is significant for us that he's living. And John wanted the world to know, and God led him to communicate this important revelation, this important truth, that Jesus is living, that he lived, and he's still living. And I think it's important as we consider his gospel, John 20, verses 30 and 31 summarizes what God was saying to the world through John. Let's stand in honor of God's word. It's a practice that we have as we just give honor to what God has said. And John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 says this: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, let's just summarize what God has been saying to us through the Gospel of John. And we've seen it over and over again as we've gone through this entire gospel. And as the Holy Spirit and God uses his word as a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. That's Psalm 119 that says God's word is a lamp to our feet. It shows us how to live, shows us how to think, shows us how we should conduct our lives. It's very important. And let's just consider what we've seen this entire year. And the first thing, if you're taking notes, you see through the Gospel of John how Jesus confronts and how he forgives. And I'm thankful for the confrontation of Jesus. He confronts us. He confronts the world. This is important to understand, because we think, oh, well, let's not be offensive to people. Let's be loving to people. Okay, yes, that is true. But because he's loving, he confronts us. He confronts us in our sin. He meets us when we're not going the right direction. And he calls us to this gift of forgiveness. And John was very clear about this. That was his experience. He was known as the Sons of Thunder, right? He and his brother were the Sons of Thunder. Maybe it was because they were hot-headed and maybe hot-tempered. Or maybe it was because of his mama, right? I don't know why he was the Son of Thunder. We know about his mom. She was the one that was only mom of the disciples that was bold enough to go to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, let my son sit on your right and left hand," right? I mean, and they were all mad at his mom. So maybe his mama was pretty tough. Now, we know about, I think that's true. His mom was Salome. And if you look at the story of Jesus and the story of the crucifixion, John the Apostle's mom was there at the crucifixion. Matthew tells us that she was there. So she's one of those women who were bold enough and strong enough to say, "We're not leaving Jesus despite what may come our way." And think about the boldness of those women, the boldness of John when he was there with his mother. "Hey, I'm going to stay with Jesus all the way through the crucifixion." Well, I'll tell you, I'm amazed at the boldness of those women. When all the disciples ran but John, the women stayed, saying, "Bring it. Bring whatever conflict comes our way." I'm thankful for the strong women of faith that I've seen in my life, in our church, and right there. You know, we know about John's dad. He was He was the Zebedee, and he was also a believer. And it's remarkable because when James and John were called, he was obviously a wealthy businessman. James and John's dad, he was a successful businessman because he was able to continue the fishing business after James and John said, I'm going to follow Jesus. And their daddy said, go, follow him. I think it's remarkable to look at the strength of his parents. John had parents that sought the Lord. That James and John grew up with a little cash in their hands because they worked. They were part of a family business. And Zebedee said, I'll hire servants. So you see in the Gospels, as this is revealed, John, he came from these parents that were strong, but probably the Sons of Thunder reference because came from those two men. They were James and John and his brother. They were probably pretty chippy and strong, and he had to be. But in Matthew 4, it talks about when they were called, and they were part of that first catch when Jesus said, Matthew 4:19, which is an incredible concept, when Jesus said to James, John, Peter, and Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, that's the moment in verse 19. And he said, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So we know from these men, they were passionate about following Jesus immediately. That was who John was. And he was present with Jesus his whole life. From that moment on, John stayed present with Jesus. And he's my favorite disciple because he never left. And you know what? That's what I pray for our church. I pray that as we look at Revelation, and I don't know, there will be a last generation in the world. And I don't know if that's us. I don't know if that's going to be our generation. I wonder sometimes if I'm raising up the generation, if I'm going to inspire the generation of my granddaughter who's right here on the front row, or maybe their children that are going to maybe know my name and know that we followed Jesus and we laid this foundation of faith that will give them the strength to be the last generation. I don't know. What I do know is there will be a last generation. And I pray, and like I read in my Bible, that last generation is going to step up to the moment. They're going to follow Jesus in the moment. I'm confident in that. I pray that we are of those people that are disciplined and we work on these spiritual disciplines like reading through our Bible, like following the Lord and learning some disciplines of fasting, of praying, of giving, of serving. Because there will be a generation that will face difficult times. I pray we follow John's example and we never bail on the Lord. It's noteworthy that he did that. You know, you look at John, Acts 4:13 reveals about John. He was an unschooled, ordinary man. But they looked at him and said, but John had been with Jesus. Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. And let's just consider this man that wrote this gospel. He was unschooled. He was ordinary. There wasn't anything about him that he probably had a country accent. It's like when we go travel outside of Oklahoma and they go, you guys talk funny. I don't feel like I have an Oklahoma accent. But one time we were on a vacation and someone stopped my wife and said, I just want to hear you talk. And I was like, she doesn't talk funny. But according to these people, we did. We talk funny. And John, maybe he had an accent like, oh, you're a country bumpkin. You're a country boy. He was unschooled, ordinary man. But let's consider him. If you are going to be a Greek student, if you're going to study Koine Greek, the New Testament language, you will start in 1 John. You know why? Because it's written so simply. But yet this unschooled, ordinary man writes a gospel revealing how powerful Jesus is, how he's living, and it's so insightful. He also wrote these letters warning, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, warning about false teachers, warning about false doctrine. And that dude wrote the Revelation, which has confounded scholars all through history. So creative, so insightful, but yet, man, what an incredible leader. In the Gospel of John, he was convinced that Jesus is living. He understood how Jesus confronted him, walked with him, and then how he forgave him. And it's John who wrote these incredible stories that he revealed about life, about what Jesus brings. And you see this value of repentance that has been in John's life. He understood the value of repenting. And he wrote about Nicodemus Nicodemus, this religious leader, you must be born again. It was John who wrote 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's John who wrote this thread of repentance through the book of Revelation. This challenge to the churches, which he's saying, repent. Don't let your light be snuffed out. Be a light to the churches. Be faithful with Christ. And hey, look, there's an end coming. It's John that wrote about this ending. God gave him this vision of the end of the world, reminding us that, look, we should live with the end in mind. And there's power in the confrontation of Jesus, and there's power in forgiveness. This is what we learn in the Gospel of John. Look back at verse 30 and 31 of chapter 20. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And you know, John experienced the value, the blessing of time with Jesus. Now, we didn't get to walk with him. We didn't get to walk with Jesus physically. We didn't get to see those miracles like John saw. We didn't get to see Jesus physically in confronting these Pharisees and Sadducees, doing these miracles. We didn't get to see the physical Jesus die on a cross and then rise from the dead or ascend into heaven like John saw. John saw Jesus. And one of the things we learn from the Gospel of John, if you're taking notes, the second point is this, is that Jesus calls us to consistent time with him. Jesus calls you and me to spend consistent time with Jesus. Now, we can all easily look at John and go, well, golly, that's not fair. He got that. But let's not miss something very important. Let's not miss something really valuable. And it's this, that the majority of the time John spent with Jesus was by the Holy Spirit. Let's consider his life. He died as an old man. The majority of the interaction that John spent with Jesus, he only walked with him for 3 years. But then he ended up living an entire lifetime as an old man where the Holy Spirit worked in his life, just like the Holy Spirit's doing with us. Let's not miss that God calls us, Jesus calls us to spend consistent time with him. And the same Holy Spirit that worked in John's life works in ours. He's working in your life. He's working right now in your life. And how God opened the door of his presence and his and John lived a life spending time with the Lord. Let's not miss this, that you and I have the opportunity to spend time with the Lord. John was there. That Acts chapter 1 moment, that ascension moment. Remember that moment? It's not in the Gospel of John. It's in Luke wrote about it. But it radically changed John's life when in Acts 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth, he says. What a significant moment that you and I get to still be in this day where we're witnesses. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. John was there. That moment as oh my goodness, Jesus is talking to them, and he's got their attention because he had just died on a cross. They saw this brutal death, and then he rose from the dead. Oh my goodness, he had their attention. And as he had their attention, it's even more magnificent that, oh my goodness, he's elevated into the clouds right in front of their eyes. And this is one of the only moments in Scripture where angelic beings show up and people weren't terrified. Because they were so enamored with what was going on in front of their face that these angelic beings that were standing in front of them just seemed lackluster. It was falling short of what they just witnessed. And then that revelation, hey, this same Jesus is going to come back. You know that's going to happen, don't you? And this is what we are looking forward to, this moment. And John, it was John that received that revelation. We read, Robin and I, in our quiet times this morning, we read, and Robin just said, whoa, oh my goodness, the awe of heaven, the awe of the end of the world as Christ comes back. You realize that's a victory. That's us gathered around the throne. I wonder, maybe it's going to be like this. You know, where it's not going to be up on a stage and we're back to back. Maybe it's a big old circle of every tribe and tongue and nation and singing praises to the Lord. I don't know. But all I know is John saw the end. And he interacted with the Holy Spirit. And I don't want us to miss that the Holy Spirit is still at work in your life, in my life. That we're to follow him. We're to walk with him. We're to trust him, that Jesus is still living. He's still interacting with us. In the Holy Spirit, he says, John wrote this in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And that's who's living. And John wanted us to recognize that Jesus is living. He's the living Son of God. Let's just consider what he says. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And what John is communicating, what God is communicating to us, is that we can believe in him. And though we all have gone through trials in life this year, I mean, I look around the room and I've walked through funerals with many of you in this room today. People that are that have gone on, and that we're that though there's joy in the holidays, there's empty seats among us. But let's not forget that heaven is awaiting us. That by believing in him, you have life in his name, and that though we grieve, we don't grieve like those without hope. And this is why I look forward together to turning our face to what the Bible says about heaven, about life, about death. And I just think about the joy of constant time with Jesus. But not only that, but you know what you see in the Gospel of John? You see this, that active faith in Christ produces the most amazing life. And see, this is why I pray that we understand what God is saying to us through the Gospel of John. Because when your faith is active and you're growing in your faith and we're not stagnant as believers, we're not self-focused, we're not internally focused, we look to the Lord, we recognize his plan for our lives, you recognize the life that is available. Notice what he says. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. You know, I think over and over again you see in the Gospel of John this reference to life. 33 times in the Gospel of John, he articulates, you can have life in his name. Following Jesus gives you life. One of his famous verses that I memorized as a teenager, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so you see over and over again that believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus today, it moves us to confidence. And John, to me, is convincing. He's convincing to me, and he lived convincingly. You know what that moves me to do? It moves me to be confident in what Jesus has done and what Jesus has said. It moves me to a prayer, Lord, help us live convincingly. Help us live among people in Tulsa and Owosso and Collinsville and Claremore and Ulaga and Skiatook. We come from all those places. I pray that this city knows that we are convinced that Jesus is the Christ. And that we live convincingly. I pray that my granddaughter grows up seeing my grandfather. My papi was convinced. And he lived convincingly. Can I challenge us with this? You can trust in Jesus. Despite the challenges you faced, despite the doubts that come, the questions that come philosophically, the questions that come theologically, we give it enough time, we will discover that God's word is true. And when I look at John, he moves me to step out of my comfort zone. And let's not forget that to live by faith, to have a faith that's active, steps out of your comfort zone will be a constant requirement. That if you're going to be active in your faith, you must not live comfortably. And we must not be a church that seeks comfort, but obedience to the Lord. I pray we never forget that active steps out of my comfort zone is a requirement for me in my life. I pray that you find a pastor consistently willing to step outside of my comfort zone, but to live by faith. Do you know what John exemplified? And when I think about living an active faith, Staying close to the Lord will keep me headed in the right direction. And the same is true for you. If you stay close to the Lord, if you lean into the Holy Spirit, you turn your face to Him daily. This is the challenge of not, don't just check a box of reading the Bible. No, you go, Lord, what are you saying to me? Speak to me. Help me understand your word, the raw word of God. And you know what that will do in your life? It will keep you headed in the right direction. Think how much trouble comes to us when we deviate from what God has said. And think how much strength comes to us when we simply say, Lord, we're going to put your word into practice. I can't tell you how many times some people have made an appointment with me as their pastor. And I've been in the room when crossroads, there was two choices to make. And I said, well, let's look at what the Bible says. And I had a man multiple times, men and women, say this multiple times. I see God's word says that, but I'm not going to do that. And the difficulty that comes when that is your course. And I want to encourage you that you simply stay close to the Lord. Acknowledge Him. Turn to Him. And you know what will happen? You will go in the right direction. And this is what an act of faith looks like. You know what else? You know what active faith looks like as well? And I see this over and over again in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of people that I love and I walk with, is that power in difficult circumstances become normal. Like when you walk with Jesus and your faith is active, power in the midst of difficulty is just your normal experience. And this is a calling that you and I have. This is the experience you will live. Power. Holy Spirit power. That's what John experiences. You look at this unschooled, ordinary man that said, I'm going to write some books. That here we are thousands of years later. And I read this morning one of the books that John the Apostle wrote. You look at how power came to him. And this will be normal for you. And here's my point. And I've said this over and over again to our church. I've said this over and over again in the mirror. You talk to yourself in the mirror? You do too. Don't look at me like I'm funny. You do too. That the sooner you discover that God can be trusted, the less time you will waste. And look, every one of us look at 2025 and go, I got to drop a few LBs, you know. I'm getting ready. Rusty's making me download this app that I have to track my food. That's going to be terrible. But you know what? You can trust the Lord. God's going to lead you to discipline, to obedience, to getting out of your comfort zone, to steps of faith that are, you know, what is a step of faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain about what you can't see. But the sooner you discover that God can be trusted, the less time you'll waste. Let's look back at John 20, 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You know, I'm moved by John. He was convinced. He lived convincingly. And it moves me to be convinced that Jesus is who he says he is. His promises are true. And I pray that we are a church family that lives convincingly. And that's my prayer for us. You know, are you convinced about Jesus? Are you living convincingly? This is something we must do. This is the path we must follow. This is a goal we must achieve. And that's my prayer for us. You know, Alistair Begg is one of my favorite preachers. He's a Scottish guy. And I just think Scottish preachers sound cooler. But he makes this statement. He says, when you read the Bible, the main things are the plain things. Sometimes we, and I get it, I went to school, I get all nerdy in my theology. And sometimes I get so much in the deep weeds of theology that I miss the main thing. And the main things are the plain things. We just studied the Gospel of John. It's a gospel. What does gospel mean? It's the good news. And let's not miss the calling we have to communicate the gospel. There's four of them in the Bible. And let's not miss the main thing, which is the plain thing, that the world needs the gospel. And what's the gospel? It's this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says you're a sinner. And we all fall short. If you want to share the gospel, it starts there. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. I've sinned. You've sinned. We're not okay by ourselves. We needed this confrontation, this forgiveness. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. That for God so loved the world, John wrote, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And even though you're a sinner, even though you need to be born again, that was to Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Jesus Christ our Lord, there's a gift. Have you received it? How have you received it? And then Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, that's the message the world needs to know. Let's not miss the plain thing of the gospel. That we're to share the gospel. That this is the reason that God didn't just save us and take us to heaven, is we're called, like Jesus said, we're going to look at it as we move into after Easter. This very clear command that you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And John warned the churches in Revelation, hey, don't let your light go out. It's my prayer that the light of First Baptist Owosso keeps shining until Jesus returns. And if we keep doing our job, generation after generation will walk with Jesus and seek his face. That's why we've got to be a church that doesn't look in our past and live in our past. Are we grateful for our past? Do we learn from our past? Yes, but as soon as we live in the past, we're in trouble. And we turn our face to what God's doing today. We walk with the Lord today. We share the gospel. This is a vision we've got to embrace. So our invitation today, Nathan's going to come up, and our band is going to come up. We're not going to do a come forward invitation because we're already coming forward in this room today. But we're going to sing this old song as a response to a year in the Gospel of John. And it's a prayer for all of us that God would walk with us, that we would walk with him, that he would be our vision. And as we end today, this gathering together, as 2024 comes to an end, and as we just process the Gospel of John, I challenge you to be convinced that Jesus is who he says he is. I challenge you to a life that lives convincingly. I challenge you to an active faith. Together, let's actively walk with the Lord. And you know what the Bible says? That we will experience life in his name. I know there's a lot of fears in the world. Oh, but can I tell you those fears that the world, the unstableness of the world, gives me more and more confidence in the stability of Christ. May he be your vision. Can we stand together and sing this as a prayer? Lord, be thou my vision.